Sometimes it seems hard to improve on the silence. And yet, I'm in this position to be offering a talk. So with this talk, we'll be moving away from the foundation of body and beginning to explore the second foundation of mindfulness, the foundation of feeling. One of the things I think in the Satipatthana Sutta that we've been noticing and pointing to as we go is that the instructions, what we're actually asked to do, are pretty simple. Over and over again, when breathing in a long breath, one understands, I breathe in long. When standing, one understands, I'm standing. Acting in full awareness. When going forward and returning. In this body, there is the earth element. And likewise with feeling, the instruction is really simple. I'll read the first part of the instruction. This is this section of the sutta. It's pretty short, actually, this little section of the Satipatthana Sutta. But it's a paragraph. But I'm going to talk about half of the paragraph today. And Gil's going to talk about the other half of the paragraph tomorrow. And so while it's simple, there's a lot to explore in there. There's a lot that we can say about what is said. And so again, I want to highlight this distinction between the practice, which is very simple, and what it begins to show us. What it begins to point out to us about our minds. What it begins to point out to us about what goes on and how suffering is constructed, how we can be free from suffering. So these very simple practices are designed in a way to reveal the incredible complexity of our minds. And yet, the instructions themselves, and in fact, I think the practices need to be very simple. As my teacher, Sayadaw Utejaniya, says, that a meditating mind is simple, not complicated. It reveals the complexity, and yet, if the mind is complicated while it's trying to look, if it's trying to do too much, that gets in the way of seeing the complexity. And so our minds need to be simple to see what's going on in there. It's like the simplicity of the practices that are explored create a condition where we can then see so much. And so the first half of this paragraph reads, "And how does one abide contemplating feelings as feelings? When one feels a pleasant feeling, one understands, I feel the pleasant feeling. When feeling a painful feeling, one understands, I feel a painful feeling. When feeling a neither painful nor pleasant feeling, one understands. I feel a neither pleasant nor painful feeling. So it comes again to a simple recognition of what's happening about a very simple aspect of our experience. This aspect of whether experience is pleasant, unpleasant, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. We sometimes say neutral for that, but the Pali is actually neither pleasant nor unpleasant. It's not using a word for neutral. It says one understands something as neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So this is the exploration of feeling, and so feeling here is referring not to a more general category of emotion, but to a simpler, even a simpler aspect of our experience, just whether there's pleasant, unpleasant, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant aspect, quality to our sense experience, our experience. This simplicity, this simple instruction also, as with some of the other instructions in the Satipatthana Sutta, is pointing to a very simple recognition of what's happening. And this, I think, is where we get some of the idea that mindfulness, the practice of mindfulness anyway, is about exploring experience as it is, rather than trying to fix or change or do anything with our experience. The instructions say, when feeling a pleasant feeling, one understands, I feel a pleasant feeling. It doesn't say, and then try to figure out how to keep it or get rid of it. Likewise, when one feels an unpleasant feeling, one understands, I feel an unpleasant feeling. It doesn't say to do anything with that other than understand it. And so this is so much about what our practice of mindfulness is understanding what we are experiencing. So it points to a non-judgmental, non-reactive knowing of what's happening in the present moment. Now this description is simple, very simple to say, and yet often not so easy to do. Feeling tone can be pretty subtle. And yet even in its subtlety, we are kind of very often living our lives in response and reaction to this very continual experience of things, there being a flow of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral experience, and we are kind of in continual response and reaction to that. Our usual way of being in the world is when we feel something pleasant, we like it, we want more of it, we try to get more of it, we try to construct our lives to have more pleasant. When things are unpleasant, we try to push them away, get rid of them, fix them, control them, change them, so that we don't have to be associated with unpleasant experience. When things are neutral, we often don't notice them, or perhaps get bored, or feel like they're unimportant. So we have certain ideas about them. This feeling tone, we tend to be responding and reacting to it without even really being consciously aware that that's what we're doing. It's a very habitual kind of response, very natural, almost, even all forms of life. Most forms of some kind of life have this movement towards pleasant and away from unpleasant. Even a single-celled creature will gravitate towards nourishment and food and away from a noxious environment. It's a kind of a protective mechanism of our systems. And so it's very natural that we do this at a very subconscious level almost. This feeling tone, pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant, is understood in the Buddhist psychology and in the Buddhist teaching. It's associated with every single contact, sense contact. So every sight, every sound, every smell, every taste, every touch, everything that comes up in our mind has one of these flavors to it, these feeling flavors. It's a natural result of the contact with the senses. And this is actually a big piece that the Buddha points to in understanding feeling, that feeling is conditioned. One time a woman on retreat came to the meeting and said she'd had a kind of an insight around something. And she said, I was lying in bed at night and I was seeing the light on the smoke detector. And I was looking at it and it was bothering me. So there was an unpleasant quality to it. And at some point, you know, she realized she shouldn't touch it, she shouldn't cover it. You know, here, if you do that, it sets off the smoke detectors. So that's even more unpleasant. But at some point she realized, oh, if I close my eyes, I don't see it. It doesn't bother me when I close my eyes. And that's noticing the conditioned nature of feeling. The eyes are open. Actually, in this case, there's more going on than just the sight. And I'll get to that in a moment, actually. It's more than just the seeing. Because for some, seeing light might be pleasant. For some, it might be unpleasant. And so this feeling tone, while it's happening with every single contact, is conditioned with every single contact, we often are unaware of it, but our lives are kind of being controlled and manipulated by it because we so want to gravitate towards the pleasant and shy away from the unpleasant. And so the Buddha pointed to how important it is in this sutta, in the Satipatthana Sutta, including the feeling as a whole foundation of mindfulness. It's like highlighting this very simple aspect of experience as being really important for us to recognize because of that movement from, oh, it's pleasant, I want more of it, I like it, I need to have it, or unpleasant, I need to get rid of it, control it, fix it, change it, push it away. That the Buddha recognized that this very simple, often unseen aspect of experience is the springboard through which we move to craving and aversion. The pleasant, unpleasant aspect of experience is an aspect of experience that helps our organism navigate the world. I mean, it's useful when I'm making breakfast to recognize if I touch the hot pot that it's too hot to pick up and I need pot holders. Otherwise, I'll get burned. You know, it's useful. It's useful. This aspect of feeling tone, it protects the body in some fashion. And yet we move a little further than that, it being useful to having to have pleasant, needing to get rid of unpleasant. This movement from feeling to craving or feeling to wanting, feeling to aversion is a very habitual response to feeling, but it's not a necessary response. Fortunately, our systems are put together, our human systems are put together such that we can experience pleasant and unpleasant and recognize that the reactivity to pleasant and unpleasant, the liking, the wanting, the needing, the aversion, the pushing away, that part of experience is optional. It is not hardwired in our brains or in our system that we have to hate things when they're unpleasant, that we have to be angry about them or confused or frustrated about them. We can simply recognize, as is expressed in the Satipatthana Sutta, this is an unpleasant feeling. And the Buddha talks about this possibility of freedom in one text where he contrasts how an ordinary person, somebody who hasn't met the Dharma, hasn't understood or learned the teachings of the Dharma, responds to pleasant and unpleasant, mostly unpleasant here. It says, the uninstructed worldling, or the ordinary person, the person who's uninstructed in the Dharma, feels a pleasant feeling, a painful feeling, and a neither painful nor pleasant feeling. The instructed noble disciple, too, feels a pleasant feeling, a painful feeling, and a neither painful nor pleasant feeling. What is the distinction, the disparity, the difference between them, given that they both feel pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral? And so this is pointing to something important here, that the practice and the freedom that is offered, what we are, the possibility of freedom, the possibility of non-reactivity, isn't about getting rid of pleasant and unpleasant feeling. Because here it says that an instructed noble disciple feels pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral feeling. It's a natural consequence of having a human body that we feel pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral feeling. And so he goes on to say, when the uninstructed worldling is contacted by a painful feeling, they sorrow, grieve, and lament. They weep, beating their breast, and become distraught. They feel two feelings, a bodily feeling and a mental one. That is the pain of the body, the physical unpleasantness, and the mental unpleasantness of being distraught, distressed, and grieving. And he offers an analogy. Suppose one were to strike a person with a dart, and then strike them immediately afterwards with a second dart. So too, that person would feel a feeling caused by two darts. So in a way, pointing to the, when we feel a painful feeling, a painful bodily feeling, when we react to that painful bodily feeling, it's like we're picking up a second dart and stabbing ourselves with it. That second reaction of the mental reactivity to the physical unpleasantness is optional. Here's how he describes a noble disciple experiencing feeling. When a noble disciple is contacted by a painful feeling, they do not sorrow, grieve, or lament. They do not weep, beating their breast, and become distraught. They feel one feeling, a bodily one, not a mental one. Suppose one were to strike a person with a dart, but not strike them immediately afterwards with a second dart. That person would feel a feeling caused by one dart only. So too, when the instructed noble disciple is contacted by a painful feeling, they feel one feeling, a bodily one, not a mental one. And this experience of this hitting ourselves with the second dart, feeling something unpleasant, and then reacting to it. When we start to see this, by exploring to some extent the I feel a painful feeling and noticing, well, this is a bodily painful feeling, and then, oh, I feel a mental painful feeling. We see the conditioned relationship between these two. First, that the bodily mental feeling is conditioning the reaction, and then often that reaction is conditioning an intensification of pain, an intensification of unpleasantness. And it's not like, oh, you've got this much, a little bit of painful feeling, and this much, another little bit of painful mental feeling, and you just add them together and you've got that much, like double or whatever. It's more like they multiply each other when there is that mental reactivity. And we can see this. We can see how when we have a painful feeling, when we react to it, it's like there's a feedback loop that intensifies the unpleasantness. And it can go something like this. Oh, there's a pain in the knee. Oh, I don't like it. I'm going to get rid of it. And then the body tenses, and then the pain actually gets worse because the body tenses. And then there's more aversion and more pain and more aversion. And it just feeds on itself. And so the Buddha points to observing feeling and observing this process at work, that it will help us to begin to kind of short-circuit this very familiar and habitual response to feeling tone by being mindful, by being present and curious about what is painful feeling, what is pleasant feeling, what is this experience. When we can recognize, oh, this is a painful bodily experience, it's quite startling as the mindfulness gets much stronger and we can just see a painful bodily experience, that it stops there. It doesn't move on to reactivity. It doesn't have to move on to reactivity. And so the Buddha pointed to, I think, the importance of noticing feeling, partly because of this very habitual human response to feeling, that it tends to move from feeling to reactivity. But it doesn't have to. It tends to move from feeling to reactivity when we don't understand, when ignorance is present, when we don't understand how this whole process works. But when we see it with wisdom, with mindfulness and wisdom, it doesn't have to follow on. It doesn't have to result in the reactivity. So feeling tone is associated with both physical and mental experience. As I said, you know, that all five physical senses, when we contact the Buddha, talked about the six sense bases, the five usual sense bases, seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting, touching. And then in Buddhist psychology, the mind is also understood to be a sense base. And so things arise in the mind. Thoughts, emotions, ideas arise in our mind. And these also are, we also have contact with ideas and thoughts and feelings and emotions. So any sense contact, whether with our physical senses or with something happening in our mind, has a feeling tone associated with it. So there are feeling tones associated with physical senses and feeling tones associated with mental experience. And yet the understanding about feeling tone itself is that it is a mental experience. And so there is feeling tone associated with physical experience, but the feeling tone itself is understood to be mental. How can that be? What does that mean? I want to think about that a moment with you, explore that a moment with you. Actually, my understanding is that neuroscience agrees with this idea, that there's apparently a place in the brainstem, very low place in the brain, but it's in the brain where feeling is put together. And in that, if that place in the brain is damaged, we will not feel pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral physical feeling. And so there's an understanding that the brain constructs or is responsible for this aspect of experience, the pleasant, unpleasant, neutral aspect of experience. So that's neuroscience. Well, let's think about it in a more practical way. So and a kind of a thought experiment around how something physical might be, a physical pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral experience might be experienced differently at different times. So if there's a contact, you know, same kind of contact, why it might be felt as pleasant sometimes and unpleasant other times. So if you are, for instance, imagine yourself standing on a street corner and you're waiting for a friend. It's a busy street corner. There's lots of people going by. And at some point you feel a touch on your shoulder. It's the contact. Physical sensation of contact. Because you're waiting for your friend, that experience of contact, it's about the time your friend's going to show up. That experience of contact might be experienced as pleasant. Oh, my friend. You turn, you see your friend. And then suppose you're standing on that same street corner, same busyness, you're not expecting a friend, and you feel a contact. There might be a startle. It might be experienced as unpleasant, that contact, because of the conditions. And so conditions influence whether we experience contact as pleasant or unpleasant or neutral. At one point, I was exploring feeling tone on one retreat. I was eating a meal, and actually this is a great place to explore feeling tone, eating. You go through so many different feeling tones in the taste sensation. It's a really great place to explore feeling tone. And it was one evening, it was a simple meal. There was apples and bean dip. And it was fall in the New England, and they had picked apples from their tree, and I think they had just been picked. I had a bite of the bean dip, and then I had a bite of the apple, and the apple was so pleasant. I got these like bubbly, like delighted sensations through my whole body, having this contact of the apple on the tongue. And I took another bite of the apple, and it was pretty pleasant too. And then another one, and it didn't quite stay as pleasant. And I had some more bean dip. Bean dip had different qualities of pleasant and unpleasant, and you know, it just completely different feeling tones. And then I had another bite of the apple, and then ooh, again, explosion of pleasant. It's like, wow, seeing the condition. It's the same apple, but the conditions are different before or after bean dip. It created different conditions in the mouth that created different feeling, different pleasure. That was very instructive. I spent quite a bit of time exploring that on that meal. It's like, wow, feeling is conditioned. Oh my gosh. It was like I was getting it. Really getting that feeling was conditioned. And that the same apple, the same tongue, the same apple, sometimes could be pleasant, sometimes not as pleasant. Another surprising piece from a study. I'll just read this. I was trying to figure out how to condense it, but it was a little hard, so I'll just read chunks of this. Pain isn't always pain. Sometimes it can actually feel good. During one study, they were exploring how people perceived pain. They hooked people up to a device that applied a variable level of painful heat to their arms. At the same time, they measured the brain activity in the area of pleasure and pain. At first, in the first setting, participants experienced a series of either slightly painful stimulus, about as painful as grasping a slightly too hot cup of coffee, or no pain. In the second setup, participants experienced a series of either moderate or intense pain. And on a screen for that one, they could see what was coming. Were they going to get the intense pain or the moderate pain? In the first scenario, where they either got the slightly painful or actually moderately painful or no pain, they rated the moderate pain as unpleasant. And I think also their brains processed it as unpleasant. That's what lit up in the brain. Unpleasant experience. But interestingly, participants in the second setup rated the moderate pain as pleasurable when the alternative was intense pain. During the moderate stimulus in the second setup, participants' brain activity also showed less activation in the pain region of the brain, and more activation in the region that is associated with pain relief and pleasure during the moderate pain. The likely explanation is that subjects were prepared for the worst and thus felt relieved when they realized the pain was not going to be as bad as they feared. In other words, a sense of relief can be powerful enough to turn an obviously negative experience of pain into a sensation that is comfortable or even enjoyable, and processed as such by the brain. So, feeling is a mental experience, highly subject to what goes on in our minds. So there's feeling tone associated with physical experience, but very conditioned and constructed by the mind, by the conditions around it. In this case, the moderate versus severe pain, creating very different conditions. And then there is feeling tone associated with mental experience itself. So feeling tone associated with joy, usually pleasant. Associated with anger, often unpleasant. Associated with fear, often unpleasant. Associated with gratitude, often pleasant. Associated with equanimity, maybe neutral, maybe pleasant. So it's really useful, it can be very useful to spend some time attuning to feeling tone if you haven't explored this before. Just beginning to recognize experience, the especially in the physical realm. Gil was talking about the qualities of experience, the properties of qualities, the elemental nature of experience. So there's pressure, there's pulsing, there's tingling, there's vibration, there's coolness, there's heat, there's warmth and moisture and dryness and vibration and hardness and softness, all kinds of physical sensations. And each of those physical sensations also is associated with feeling. And so we can begin to be curious about the feeling associated with our physical sensations. Our bodies, our physical bodies, the touch sense is particularly tuned to this pleasant, unpleasant quality to experience. And so it's a really interesting place to explore that. Might notice, in, for instance, around an itch, the sensation of an itch, the unpleasantness of that, the strong kind of coming and going aspect of that sensation. Or we might be curious about the pleasant smoothness of breathing at times, or just noticing the pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral aspects to our experience. One interesting thing that we may start to see as we touch into and explore our physical, what we understood to be physically unpleasant, is that a lot of what we think of as physical unpleasant is often related to ideas or views in our mind. Or like in that case of the experiment, the idea that the shock isn't going to be as bad had an impact on how the moderate shock was experienced. The idea, the expectation, that the relief of it not being as bad as it could be created, and that's an idea. It's a thought in the mind. It's not the actual physical experience itself. And so this is a huge exploration around feeling, actually. An exploration around how views, beliefs, thoughts influence feelings. I would say, actually, that views, thoughts are a leading cause of feeling tone. In one of the commentaries, there is a teaching. And I'm going to offer this because I don't know how true this is, and I'm not sure. But in any case, the one of the commentaries mentions that in the physical realm of feeling tone, the touch sense does experience pleasant, unpleasant. That our bodies, our touch sense, is actually designed to feel pleasant, unpleasant through, of course, mediated by the brain. But that is. There is the like the nerves are kind of designed to contact and recognize pleasant and unpleasant. But they say that the other four physical senses, sight, smell, sound, and taste, are at their base, the very bare contact with those sense spaces, that the feeling tone, at the bare feeling tone there, is neutral. And that if there's any sense that a contact with eye, ear, nose, or tongue is pleasant or unpleasant, it's because of something, a mental idea. It's because of a thought or an attitude in the mind. Now, I don't know whether that's actually true or not. I'm skeptical. Because it seems to me that it would make a lot of sense for there to be, like, for instance, in the taste sense, you know, if you put dung on your tongue, really useful for that to be experienced as unpleasant. But I don't know, you know. I have found it to be a very interesting exploration. What actually is being experienced as unpleasant when I'm experiencing, or pleasant, when I'm experiencing pleasant or unpleasant in the physical realm? And so one exploration around this, one evening, I was having trouble sleeping, and I got up to meditate, which is what I often do when I have trouble sleeping. I get myself into my meditation posture and just meditate for a period of time, and then often I'm able to go back to sleep after a while. One evening I was having trouble sleeping, so I got up and I meditated, and at some point, it was, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, middle of the night. At some point in the middle of the night, meditating, I hear this tapping, like scratching, tapping noise. It's just a little quiet. And my mind noticed it as unpleasant. Okay, yep, unpleasant, that's unpleasant. And it would go away, and it would come back, and I would notice the unpleasantness of it. At some point in that noticing of the unpleasantness of it, I recognized that when the scratching started, a very subtle fear was there. And the fear was really clearly unpleasant. And so I could see that, you know, I had interpreted or understood that the sound was unpleasant. And I still was experiencing the sound as unpleasant, but I also saw that this fear was there. And at some point in this, I recognized the fear and the real unpleasantness of the fear, and was attending to the fear more completely, more fully, and the fear let go. And then when the scratching sound occurred, the tapping sound occurred, it was experienced as neutral, even slightly pleasant. You know, it's just this little, it was the mildest of sounds. But the mind, the fear, I mean, I know that the fear was like, oh, there's a rat in the wall. It's going to come through. It's going to get me. It's going to bite me. It's like all this story. It's like the thoughts, the ideas created the fear, created the unpleasantness of fear that influenced the perception of hearing and made it appear as though that sound were unpleasant. This is a lot of how unpleasantness and pleasantness works in our experience. Our views, our ideas, our beliefs create the conditions in which we will interpret certain things as pleasant and certain things as unpleasant, or experience them as pleasant or unpleasant. It's really useful to do this kind of exploration. And so this, in some ways, this is, again, beginning to distinguish between the various aspects of feeling. Is it physical feeling or mental feeling? And so in that case, initially, I thought I was reacting to the sound. I don't like that sound. I wanted to go away. But as I kept exploring, I recognized it wasn't the sound itself that I was reacting to. It was the unpleasantness of the fear that I was reacting to. And so when we notice there is reactivity in the mind, this is a really interesting exploration, because when there's reactivity in the mind, there will be something being reacted to, and often it comes back to some kind of feeling. And so if there's aversion in the mind, there is something unpleasant happening that may not have been clearly noticed. There may be something that we think is unpleasant that we're clearly noticing. Another exploration. I've done a lot of exploration around feeling tone in my retreat practice. It was really highlighted for me for a stretch of time. And at one point, I was doing walking meditation, and this was in nighttime in the IMS in the upper walking room. It's a small room, and it was pretty full. You know, we were walking a couple feet apart from each other. And then somebody came into the room and walked, you know, inserted themselves in the 2 feet between me and the next person. And my whole body just contracted. And I noticed that it was unpleasant. And I kind of adjusted over and noticed that, you know, I didn't like that. And yet, you know, we kind of adjusted in the room and I just kept doing my walking. And yet, I was experiencing aversion towards this person. And so I had just heard a teaching, you know, Carol Wilson saying, if there's aversion, there's something unpleasant happening. It's like, okay, what's unpleasant here? Something unpleasant is happening here. And just doing the walking, it's like, okay, seeing. Well, the person had a kind of a little, like a little funny step to their walk, but, you know, I couldn't really say that was what I was reacting to. They didn't smell bad. They weren't touching me. So seeing, smelling, I wasn't tasting them. So taste was out. You know, I went through all five physical senses, and there was like, it was not in one of those five physical senses that the reaction was coming, or that the unpleasantness was happening. And so I didn't really see what was going on, but I figured there must be something in the mind, some unpleasant thing in the mind. And so I kept watching. And as I walked back and forth, at one point, the mind produced this thought that I saw, and the thought was, he's weird. And I didn't quite get it yet, but well, there's a thought, okay. And then another thought arose that was, it's freezing cold and he's in bare feet. And I recognized that that was the justification for what I thought was weird, that this person was in bare feet. And in that moment, recognized that the unpleasantness was about a reaction in the mind. It was the idea that this person was weird in some way, and that unseen idea of weirdness created a subtle feeling of unsafety. And that was what was unpleasant. As soon as the mind saw that that was all a constructed phenomenon, and in fact was based on nothing more than somebody wearing bare feet when it's cold, the entire kind of aversion to this person fell away, and it was replaced with metta. Just a feeling of, may you be happy. So this kind of curiosity about what is actually being reacted to. We have so many reactions, and this exploration around feeling tone can begin to show the constructed nature of our reactions. Our reactions are based in this very subtle place, and often not to what we think. I mean, I knew I was averse to this person somehow, but not really understanding how it was put together. So much of our reactivity, actually, at least in my exploration of the feeling tone, and what I've seen is that most of the reactivity, aversion, and greed that relates to feeling tone comes from ideas, thoughts, emotions, more than a physical experience. So look at it for yourself. This getting familiar with feeling tone can open a real avenue towards understanding how our suffering is created, and that it is optional. So in this exploration of feeling, mostly I've been exploring how it leads to reactivity. And that's a huge and very fruitful place for exploration. But another part of the exploration around feeling has to do with recognizing and understanding that as we practice, there's certain kinds of pleasant feelings that come with practice. There's the happiness of concentration. There's the delight of ethical conduct. When we recognize that we're not harming, that we're engaging in non-harming, there can be a sense of a feeling of delight that we're not engaged in activity that would create harm. There's also the pleasure of insight. When we see something, there can be times when we're observing something challenging or unpleasant, knowing anger happening in the mind, and yet having a sense of, wow, this is amazing. This is interesting. And so there can be both this witnessing of something challenging and being at ease, even joyful, in the seeing of it. And this kind of pleasure, it's worth beginning to understand the difference between the kind of pleasure that moves us in the direction of, oh, I want more of that, and or want to get rid of that. The pleasure, there's a kind of pleasure that points us in the direction that we're headed towards release, headed towards freedom. And we can cling to that too, definitely. I've definitely spent time wanting to get back to a state of concentration that I had yesterday and suffering over it. And yet there's a way in which this kind of pleasure is, there's a different kind of pleasure that is pointing us in the direction, like, of this way. It's like through this avenue of pleasant, unpleasant, there's certain kinds of pleasant, unpleasant that guide us towards freedom. And we begin to, so some part of our system begins to understand, yes, this way is helpful. And it's in this domain of feeling that we begin to understand that, oh, this way. We know that through this avenue of certain kinds of pleasure on the path. And that's the second part The second half of the paragraph is exploring this difference. So Gil will talk about that tomorrow. But I just wanted to put that in there because sometimes in talking about pleasant, unpleasant, we get this idea of, oh, pleasant, bad, I'm not supposed to want all. It's like, sometimes standing in the sun and feeling the delight of that is onward leading. So let's just sit for a moment and rest, relax, and open to, and perhaps opening to the domain of our physical sensations that we've been exploring. And with a very light, not so much a trying to see, but just a light curiosity, what is the feeling? The most obvious physical sensation that you're experiencing right now. Is it pleasant? Is it unpleasant? Is it neutral? How about now? The most obvious experience. Pleasant, unpleasant, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Sometimes the peripheral attention to this can be really helpful. Not trying to look for it directly.